Live at the News Talk 104.1 at 1600 WEJS Studios. Todd Bartley joined by a very special guest on the telephone. That's none other than Congressman Fred Keller. Thank you so much for taking the time, Congressman.
Well, thank you, Todd. I appreciate the opportunity to be able to communicate with the good people of PA-12.
Let's get a logistical hurdle out of the way first. Are you physically in Washington, D.C. with the vote that was just cast, or are you still working virtually and remotely?
Well, I came down. We voted here today. I just voted a few minutes ago and actually headed back to PA-12.
So walk us through that, if you would. They actually called everybody back that was able to come back for this particular Phase 3.5 COVID-19 response legislation and vote, did they not?
Yeah, we had. There's some people maybe that if they were older, you know, and so forth, or maybe had an underlying condition, weren't required to come. But, you know, we need to make sure we had a quorum, and we need to make sure that we were here to vote. And we did have a quorum, and, you know, they actually set the vote up in stages where, by alphabet, there was probably, I don't know, I'll just pick a number, 15 people every, like, 10 minutes or so. And then what you did is you went down and you made sure you social distance, you made sure you had your mask on, you used a hand sanitizer, you were able to cast your vote and then leave the chamber. So it went very smoothly. We had two votes today. Of course, the most important vote being the one to replenish the Paycheck Protection Program, loan program for small businesses, and the Emergency Disaster Loan Program for small business. So it was really that was really what we should have done, quite frankly, 2 weeks ago. But you know, Speaker Pelosi and Senator Schumer were playing politics with it. But we have got it done. I think they finally got enough pressure and came to their senses and said, this is important for our small businesses and our families. And additionally to that, money for our hospitals, quite frankly, because they've been ready to care for the COVID-19 patients and been keeping capacity open. So, you know, not doing elective procedures or procedures that are non-urgent. So, you know, looking at that, glad to be able to get that done. And get that help out to our small businesses and our families, keeping people employed.
Visiting with Congressman Fred Keller, who just took the vote on Phase 3.5 COVID-19 response legislation. Of course, it's commonly referred to as that Paycheck Protection Program or the PPP program. We'll get into the specifics here in just a moment, but I want to go back to Speaker Pelosi for just a moment, Congressman, if we could. That fateful day when you were sworn into Congress, you know, she's in the room, she's taking photos with you, welcoming you to Congress. I mean, it's a great day for you, right? You're there as a congressperson, but how troubling was it for you to see the media reports, to see the video of her standing, you know, in front of the refrigerator talking about what was going on and the ice cream and this kind of deal, and you've got folks in your district that are talking about filing bankruptcy because they can't pay their people and they may have to go out of business. How did that make you feel?
Well, you know, the thing is, and not only Speaker Pelosi, but, you know, Representative Jay Powell said, you know, losing leverage. And this is not about leverage. This is not about transformative or far-reaching things. As Speaker Pelosi herself said, this is about that the hardworking people of the United States, in particular, I'm going to say the hardworking people and thoughtful, intelligent people of PA-12, the resources they need and deserve. They built the greatest economy in the world. They did it. Everybody's talking about this new normal, right? I want to get back economically, safely, but economically. I want to get back to the old normal of the greatest economy in the world that was built by the people that own small businesses, that go to work every day, all the people that deserve the help that's out there. I want to get back to that. And that was done under the leadership that began on January 20th, 2017 by President Trump.
Congressman Keller, I want to ask you about the specifics of the PPP program. It's been funded once again to a level of $310 billion in additional lending for that PPP, then $60 billion, that's billion with a B, in the EIDL program, that's that Economic Injury Disaster Loan Program, $75 billion to hospitals, and $25 billion to virus testing. If you could address the PPP funding, first of all, and then I've got some follow-up questions for you as well on the numbers here in Pennsylvania that have dramatically changed earlier today from the Department of Health from a case and death standpoint. But first, if you could address the PPP program.
Well, the PPP, and it's really important, and I think we've talked very well about how that gets out to the businesses, but it's $310 billion directed out to make sure people can stay employed with their employer so that when things come back, people haven't been separated from employment and so on. And it's important to know that 75% of those loans have been for $150,000 or less, and there's been about almost 5,000 lenders involved. So that's small bank. That's a lot of people across the United States, lenders that have been doing that. And the important thing that I think we look at with this, too, and I'll give you a case in point, right in Lycoming County. Right in Lycoming County, a fellow that has a business, and he did his loan application on a Friday, and the following Tuesday, he had his money when his plan was opened up. And his amount of his loan was $12,000. This is not people. This is small businesses that just need enough money to get them through this till we're open back up and our economy is chugging again. But I use that example because that's the reality of the situation. And it's a really popular program because it is working well.
So let's get into the $75 billion for hospitals. And one of the questions that I've asked, and if you could provide clarity for this, that would be great. There are reports circulating around that with states that have these large case numbers and large numbers of deaths, that there's some type of correlation to funding mechanisms, that the more cases they get, the more money they get, the more deaths that they have, the more money that they get, whether it's from federal government or different branches of the government, that they're getting funding to that level. Can you address that? Is that fact? Is it fiction? Is it partially true? What are the details on that? Then we can talk about the funding directly that goes to hospitals.
Okay, the $75 billion that we put out is actually for hospitals that have lost revenue because they haven't been taking those non-critical procedures and doing those kind of things to cover their costs. And that's driven out under the Medicaid formula, which will help rural hospitals because of the percentage of Medicaid patients. So that's the money that we have, that we're putting out now. As far as hospitals dealing with patients that have COVID-19, in our CARES package, the original one that was $2.2 trillion, there was money in there to cover for care for people that don't have insurance. So if you don't have insurance, there was money in there to pay for that, make sure the hospital got paid for caring for patients. So did everybody that was infected with COVID-19 could get the care. So there was money to pay for that. There was money to pay for, Medicare patients. There was money to pay for co-pays. So if I have insurance, but I need to go to the doctor because I'm presenting with symptoms and I need to go to the doctor, that there was money there for co-pays for that. So again, I think there's probably a little bit of, confusion around how that was, may have been said by some people, but there is compensation for hospitals that are taking care of COVID-19 patients. But it's because we don't want anybody to feel they can't get care. So when we did the CARES package, we said, hey, if you have a copay, we'll cover the copay. If you're on Medicaid or Medicare, we'll make sure that you can get the care. So that's the point I would like to make with that. You know, we didn't want, if you're uninsured, we wanted to make sure that people that were uninsured had access to care if they were infected with COVID-19.
Right. So the idea of running numbers up to get reimbursed from the federal government, that's nonsense.
I mean, it has to be a COVID case to be able to access that. So I would hope that, and I'm going to believe this, particularly I'm going to say the hospitals in our area are great institutions. You know, when you have Endless Mountains, you have Geisinger, you have Evangelical, you have UPMC, great institutions. I can't see anybody there doing that. I think that there might just be a little bit of somebody may have said something and it got repeated or something and maybe a little out of context. But, you know, there was money in the CARES round three, the one we did previously, the $2.2 trillion, that did pay for people that didn't have insurance to get care.
Let me play a short soundbite from Governor Wolf last night as he and Secretary Levine began to address the potential reopening and your district right here in Lycoming County and portions of PA-12. Are on the short list to reopen as of May 8th. Let me give you what the governor said last night. Get your reaction.
Why wait until May 8th to reopen counties where there's so few cases, they'll never hit 50 cases per 100,000 residents?
Yeah, we're trying to be as safe as we can. And again, some of the statistics we're looking at are based on people staying at home. Once we start to lift these orders, people will start to move around more freely, and these numbers might change dramatically. We're trying to be prudent and careful, and we want to keep people safe. So May 8th, we think, is the soonest we can start to lift the orders, even in areas that right now look like they're doing quite well.
So what's your reaction to that, Congressman Keller, and also construction workers going back on May 1st?
Well, here's the thing I would say, and I would like to first and foremost say, everybody wants Pennsylvanians to be safe. We don't want anybody, to succumb to this. And so we want everybody to be safe. But, you know, the governor has done many things in a vacuum. Senator Gordner, the majority whip in the Senate, was on the radio down in Sunbury, I think it was earlier this week, and he had mentioned that the governor wasn't communicating with, you know, the leadership or anybody in the state senate or state house on some of these decisions. Instead, the governor's, you know, talking to Governor Cuomo and, you know, five other governors that were not elected by the people of Pennsylvania to make decisions for them. I get the safety thing, but, you know, we've had people working in healthcare. We've had people working in grocery stores. We've had people working at Walmart and Home Depot have been open, and people, the people of Pennsylvania have been able to flatten the curve while all those people have been working. I think if we give clear guidelines, we will be successful in doing this, because the people that are going to do it are the businesses and the people that work in those businesses that build our economy. And they didn't do it because they aren't careful and don't care. I think the governor needs to probably take a look at some of these things with some consultation about the state reps and state senators are around in these communities. They understand it, and they certainly aren't going to give advice or want to open it up too soon. So again, I think this, the governor doing it all alone is probably not a good idea. I think he needs to rope in more people that are elected to represent the 12.8 million people in Pennsylvania.
Finally, Congressman Keller, again, thank you so much for your time, but I got one more question for you. This is now phase 3.5, right? We've done the $2.2 trillion. Now we're at the 3, 10, 60, 75, and $25 billion additional dollars in the PPP and additional programs. That's phase 3.5. Do you see a potential phase 4? If so, when, and potentially how much?
Well, the first thing I would like to say about that is we've already just spent almost $3 trillion. And there are people, as we mentioned earlier, the speaker, who says far-reaching and transformative, looking to put policy things in that they could not get in these other bills. Also, people like Representative Jay Powell says, hey, look, we need leverage. So again, you're looking at people that want to advance policies, and they're using this crisis to try and do it. I think before we talk about anything else, we need to see how this almost $3 trillion works. And anything we do needs to be very specifically targeted, simply those results we need to get our economy up and going again. So massive spending and policy changes, I am not for at all. And right now, before we talk about any more money, let's see the impacts and the benefits that we get from this, because there are things that maybe need a little more money. There's maybe some things that don't need quite as much. So again, that would be my case on that. We should not be talking about trillions of dollars in other spending. We should say, hey, look, we already did $3 trillion. How to do it? Because we're fighting this, as the president says, and correctly, this invisible enemy, the virus, we need to defeat it, and that's what our focus needs to be on. Not other things of way down the road or that include anything other than a narrowly focused help to those who need it, which is Pennsylvania's families, Pennsylvania's small business, Pennsylvania's hospitals.
Allow me to congratulate you as well on your pending legislation for movement of prisoners at the federal level, and just putting a halt to that. If you don't find a co-sponsor of that legislation from the folks that represent Marion, Ohio, I'll give you a perfect example. They moved people in and around those prisons, in and around Marion, Ohio, Marion County. They are now one of the largest epicenters in the state of Ohio for positive COVID cases. They're coming into the Marion, Ohio, Marion County Health Department by the hundreds. So your legislation would absolutely have put a stop to that movement and potentially stopped how many hundreds of positive cases. So again, kudos to you for bringing that up and making the attempt to stop those movements by the the Federal Bureau of Prisons.
Thank you, Todd. I appreciate you mentioning that. We just picked up a bipartisan co-sponsor of that from New Jersey today. So, you know, that's you know, all good, and we're trying to make sure that people are safe. And you know, and our corrections officers that go to work, you know, our hospitals, you know, we want to make sure that we're not moving. If we're all sheltered in place in communities and law-abiding citizens, then the Bureau of Prisons shouldn't be moving people around. It was our opinion all along that they had the authority to halt it. They said not. You needed legislation. You know, they tried passing the buck. They tried semantics. They tried a bunch of things. So we said, all right, we'll just introduce the legislation. It's still our belief that they have control over this. But since they're not willing to get off the dime, I guess I'll tell them how to do their job.
Congressman Keller, appreciate your time as always. Safe travels, stay safe, and hopefully we'll have another visit here in the not-too-distant future.
I look forward to that. And again, Todd, I want to thank you and the media for doing a good job of allowing me to communicate to the outstanding people of PA-12. Truly a to be able to serve the people of PA-12. Thank you.
That's Congressman Fred Keller. We certainly appreciate his time as always. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
That's Congressman Fred Keller.